This is Anthony Hutless, and this episode is brought to you by IVMV Patreon supporter like me.
The 2015 season is just 1 week away, and rumors and uncertainty circle Wrigley Field and the renovations. On this week's episode, we talk about these issues with Wrigleyville resident and one of the co-hosts of the Wrigleyville Nation podcast, Pat Nagel. We also talk about where Javier Baez will start the season, Edwin Jackson being lost in a few different ways, and the latest in the Chris Bryant saga. All of these topics and more on this episode. It is March 29th, 2015, and you're listening to the 304th episode of the IVNV podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this week's episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me through a Google Plus Hangout, one of the other hosts of this podcast.
Yeah, that would be me, Kurt.
Andy is not able to join us this week. Maybe he was just tired of talking with me after being with me for a week straight.
Yeah, he ran away to Chicago or something.
Right, he'd had enough.
He said, I can't do it.
Yeah, hopefully he returns. I guess we'll see. So opening day is 1 week away, and if you're in West Central Illinois or maybe interested in a road trip, we will be hosting a meetup for opening night at Duffy's in Galesburg. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll know that Duffy's and its uniqueness holds a special place in our hearts. We have a Facebook event for the Game Watch, and you can find the link in the show notes for this episode on IVMV.com. Speaking of meetups, last week we announced a Iowa Cubs game meetup, and we've already changed the date. I forgot that former host, you know, sometimes fill-in host of this podcast years ago, Brian, that's his wedding day. We've been invited to his wedding, so I kind of messed up on that one. So the Iowa Cubs meetup will now be on June 6th. It's there in Des Moines. We'll share more details later, and we actually have some other meetups and game watches planned over the next few months, and we'll be sharing those over the next few weeks. Next week's episode will be our annual season predictions episode. We go through stats and predict over-unders on those stats, and as usual, if there's any something in particular that you would like us to predict or guess on, then you can email them to me this week, Corey@IVMV.com. That's Corey. And we'll probably ask for them on our Facebook and Twitter later this week. And that's IVMV.com/Facebook. We'll take you to our Facebook page. And then we are at IVMV on Twitter. So opening night, as I said, it's 1 week away. Man, I cannot wait. Yeah. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting, too, to see the Cubs in a position to get, like, opening night attention, even though most of the national attention is generally annoying. But
did you happen to see the ESPN broadcast this week?
I did not, thankfully.
Well, you know what's kind of funny is, like, you know how we can watch ESPN? You know, a lot of times Sunday night games are AL East games. Usually if there's a weekend series with the Red Sox and Yankees, that's the game that's on ESPN on Sunday Night Baseball. But I can't even remember who the heck the Cubs were playing that night. I don't remember. But it didn't really matter because all they talked about was the Cubs. And it was like one of those things where it was kind of like, oh, wow, people are going to really hate us because they spent, you know, like innings talking about Chris Bryant and just doing what ESPN does, which is picks that one topic, has their one talking point, and just hits on it over and over and over. But anyway, I just can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. Like this season is going to be fun. Opening night is going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
However, Wrigley does not look like it's ready to host this big event. So, To get more information on the situation up there at Wrigley and the latest with the rooftops and all of the other neighborhood stuff, we're going to bring in Pat Nagel of the Wrigleyville Nation podcast. So we're going to take a little break right here and come back with Pat. So we will be right back. And we're back with Pat Nagel, one of the hosts of the Wrigleyville Nation podcast. Pat, thanks for coming on the podcast and talking with us.
Well, thanks very much, Corey, for inviting me.
So Kurt, Andy, and I, we're hours from Wrigley Field. We don't know what the heck is going on up there. So my question to you is, what the heck is going on up there?
It's a complete mess. It's 35 degrees and raining. The wind chill is about 25 degrees. We actually drove three blocks because it was so bad out today to go to brunch at the Salt and Pepper Diner there on Clark Street next to, or just, you know, a couple doors down from the ballpark, which if you are going to come to a game and you're bringing kids with, that's not a bad place to go. And they also serve alcohol, but still perfect. A good place to eat. Yeah. So we went down there and I kind of did a quick look. I didn't see any construction work going on. They have been working on Sundays, but with the weather the way it is right now, the winds are really high. There was no noticeable work going on, certainly no crane work. And if you were to sort of walk around the ballpark, which I do on a regular basis, you would see a lot of, metal. That's basically what we're looking at now. The left and the right field lines, you can see the outlines of the bleachers, like where they would be if they were there with the metal framing. And they've got the huge metal framing for that video board. I know there have been pictures in the newspaper and online of how big the video board's going to be as compared to, say, the old, you know, scoreboard in center field. But when you look at the mounting for it, you really get a feel for how big it is standing underneath it. I mean, it eclipses, you know, the old Budweiser sign that used to be on the building in left field across the street.
Right.
This eclipses that building by about another story. I mean, it's like five stories high. It's pretty big. So right now we're kind of in this weird position where you can still see the back of the outfield wall. If you look through the, you know, chain link fence, and there's nothing else there other than metal framing. So it looks like we're a ways away from actually having completed bleachers. I expect when the weather picks up that it'll, the pace of the construction will improve. But right now it's looking like it's a ways away.
Right. So I have not seen the renovations in person since early December. I'm mainly kind of relying on pictures and just conversations on Twitter and stuff. We know that the left field bleachers won't be ready until May. That's what the Cubs are saying. The right field bleachers won't be ready until June. And the focus has been on that aspect of the process, this renovation process. But there's other parts of the park, like the concourse and the upper deck, that are kind of under the gun too. Is that right?
Yeah. Right now, if you were to leave the bleacher part aside and you were to take a walk from Clark and Addison north on Clark Street along the third base line, there's that parking lot that the players and the executives used to park in. That's completely closed off now. Basically from Addison Street all the way up, there's a big fence around it, and it's all dirt right now. They've been excavating it. That's a year and a half long project. They're hoping to get finished next year, which is digging two stories down, putting in an auditorium, putting in all new clubhouse facilities. We've heard a lot or read a lot about the great new clubhouse facilities the Cubs are going to have, and the weight rooms and the, you know, the saunas and everything else that goes in there. That's the part that, you know, is under construction right now. The problem is it doesn't look like they've gotten very far in terms of how far they've dug down, and maybe that'll change, of course, when the weather warms up. The Cubs allegedly are also planning on having the construction run continuously, even through games, so because they don't want to lose any time. So if you're ever at the ballpark, you'll be able to see the cranes and the dump trucks moving, even during the Cubs games. Right now, that's just completely just a big sort of muddy. You could see some of the structural, like, I'm not an expert on construction, but you can see these big spiral sort of metal things that looks like some sort of support beams and things that they're planning on putting down there. But right now, it's completely closed off all the way to, if you were, say, across the street from the firehouse there on the left field side, all the way up through that gate. I assume that that gate will be open for the beginning of the season, because with the rest of the street basically blocked off by the bleacher construction, it's sort of, you know, they have to have some way to get people out of there or in there in the ballpark. And it's the only area that doesn't have, you know, chain link fence around it. Having said that, one of the other things they're working on right now, allegedly, is the concourse on the third base side. And that's a project that they expect would go through this season and be ready for next year. And then they were going to do the first base side starting next year, going into the year after. And for this year's portion of it, the plan was to get new restroom facilities put in place and to do some other structural work underneath. So if you were to enter the ballpark from the fire station side, or that outfield side on the left field side, and you were to walk in, on your left would be the concession stands, and on your right would be the ramps to go up to the upper deck.
Right.
They have, behind and underneath those ramps, they always had offices. They had a players, wives, and kids area. They had a first aid area, a bunch of other stuff that you wouldn't really notice if you weren't paying attention, because they're kind of closed off, and there'd be, you know, these green doors in the cement that with a guard in front of them, and you never knew what they were for. That whole area is being blown out right now. And we have reason to believe that because the players, wives, and kids area has been moved to a tent in the parking lot just north of Waveland, along with all the players' cars. So their cars and their wives and their kids will all be in that, where that that blue parking lot used to be. And temporarily, anyway, they took out that house. There was a little house there that the gardener used. They removed that. They plan on putting it back, but that's gone right now. So they're really kind of gutting that area with the intention, ultimately, of having the concourse be a little bit wider and having, I think, concessions and other things for people to do on both sides, not just the left side when you walk in, but also on the right side. Now, the state of that project is a little bit nebulous right now. I've heard rumblings that the bathrooms might not be ready for the beginning of the season. That would be a real bummer for me, since those are the bathrooms that we use. And if we lost half the bathrooms on the lower concourse, that would be disturbing.
Yes, troublesome. So, you know, there were reports earlier this week that Major League Baseball was not too happy with the Cubs. And what was maybe a lack of plan B, the Cubs came out and denied that claim. I'm sure that Major League Baseball isn't thrilled that their big opening night celebration is not going to showcase the new and improved Wrigley Field. But do you have any thoughts about, I mean, just how it looks right now and what it's going to look like a week from today? Do you think that maybe playing part of the season in Milwaukee or on the south side maybe would have been a good idea, or is this, once the weather warms up and construction can kind of pick up the pace a little bit within a month or so, it's not going to be that big of a deal?
I mean, it looks like an absolute construction site. I mean, there's no way around that. On the Clark side, on the Sheffield side, on the Waveland side, it's readily apparent that everything is just under construction. One of the aspects of that you don't really think about, and I'm sure there'll be hundreds of other small details that we come to realize once we get inside, but I was talking to somebody who was in the ballpark who said that there were about 3 inches of dust covering everything.
Oh man.
Because, you know, they've been doing construction all winter, and and that's something they're going to have to deal with. I was a proponent from the very beginning of playing the first 2 or 3 months of the season at the Cell. As much as I'm not a fan of going down to that ballpark, I thought it probably made more sense to play April and May and even June or part of June there, and really be able to do what they need to do you know, cleanly with the ballpark and then open it up. The problem they're going to have is that while they are going to perform construction during the games, you're somewhat limited as to what you could do. I mean, can you have cranes moving, you know, items around in the outfield stands during a game? I mean, I think that would get kind of distracting for players. And I just don't, it looks kind of haphazard right now and not very good. I would have rather they spent a couple months to finish it and then come back and at least have the outfield completely done top to bottom. Because I'm hearing now that even the bleacher renovation project, while the bleachers will be up this year, won't really be complete until the beginning of next year, whatever that means. I think what they're talking about is the concessions and things that they plan on doing, you know, in the on the first level behind the brick walls. I know they're going to put they're planning on putting in the bullpen mounds so that they could take out the bullpens and add three more rows of luxury seating on the left and right field sides. The rest of the bleacher area on that first floor, I think, is just going to be, you know, basically roped off for the rest of the season. So even though people will be able to sit up there, it's still not going to be completed. And, you know, I hope there aren't any negative ramifications in terms of anybody getting hurt or anything happening. But you're going to have, it's crazy to say, but you have 40,000 people walking through a construction site every day,
right,
drunk.
Right, right. I think they should just kind of embrace, you know, rather than try to, like, you know, I guess what's the term I'm looking for? Rather than trying to, like, gloss over and make it seem like, oh, this is totally normal, I think they should just embrace it and, like, be funny about it, hand out, like, hard hats on opening night and, like, pardon our dust signs and construct, like, I don't know, like, traffic cones. Just,
yeah, I agree.
Sure, that'd make MLB happy.
Caution tape.
I mean, it's going to be a go with the flow kind of thing. You know, everybody's going to just have to kind of deal with it and go into it knowing that this isn't perfect. And you, rather than grumble about it, you know, when you're there, you just have to kind of understand if you're going to go to the ballpark this year, especially in the first, well, really probably the all year. If you're going to go to the Wrigley Field this year, you just have to be kind of flexible and willing to kind of, you know, roll with the punches.
Well, in a certain way, I mean, this is being really optimistic about it or whatever, but I think it would be kind of cool to go to a game when this is all going on. And then, you know, 40, 50 years from now, I could tell my grandkids, like, oh, hey, look at these pictures. I was there when they were building this thing from, you know, and renovating it. And this is what it was like then. I don't, maybe that's being a little too positive about it, but.
No, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad and I went to the first night game, but back then you didn't have a camera phone. So I didn't get a chance. I didn't take any pictures, which really bums me out. I wish I had, just of what it looked like at the time. And certainly this year I will be taking pictures a week from today. In if my fingers work in 38 degree temperatures, but, I will be taking pictures of what I see and maybe some video too, just for posterity's sake, because you're right. It is sort of a once in a lifetime thing to see. And it's, you know, being at the ballpark and going to a game with the bleachers completely empty. I mean, that's just sort of a surreal kind of thing that we're probably never going to experience again.
Right. It's definitely going to be weird for those of us watching the game on TV, and seeing the, you know, the overhead shots from the blimp or helicopters or whatever. And really just, I mean, you just kind of picture, you know, home runs just kind of like clanking around out there and like with, you know, bouncing off of raw steel. Should be kind of fun to watch.
I read they had to build a special entrance for the center field cameraman to get up there.
Oh,
because there was no way to get up there. So he's going to have a real good opportunity at catching home runs, since he'll be the only person, I think, in the entire outfield. So maybe during commercial breaks, he can run over and grab the ball.
Other than the construction workers that will be out there working, and it's a good thing, right, they'll be wearing hard hats, I guess. One more question about all this renovation stuff. And it feels like we've been talking, you know, just as Cubs fans, we've been talking about this forever. But the weird thing is I think that we're going to be talking about this for years. But since you live in Wrigleyville, what is the overall mood of Wrigleyville residents right now? I mean, there's been a lot of commotion, a lot of changes. Where are people at right now with everything?
I think anybody who's had major construction work done on their house, or who's, you know, lived next door to a building that went up, has probably gone through those periods of kind of grumbling because it's loud, you know, it's dusty. We had a whole a rat colony that was unearthed apparently from the construction, and there were hundreds of rats flying through the alleys of the neighborhoods that had to be dealt with. So right now, I think the mood of a lot of people, especially because I think there's a sense of people in the community that the construction is lagging behind and slow, and they, to a certain extent, want to get it over with, or at least they want to get it done on time. And the notion that it's going to take another year, or that it might take, you know, it's going to stretch out longer and longer, is an irritant for people. I was talking to one local bar owner who told me the other day, her fear is that, you know, the neighborhood is going to get blamed for the delays, when in fact, you know, it's not the neighborhood's fault that the Cubs didn't get the orders of their steel on time, and that they had a water main problem and all the other things that contributed to this, what might be probably in retrospect an aggressive timeline for getting this all done. I mean, you know, the Cubs are going to blame some of it on the weather, obviously. Although you and I know from when we were at the Cubs convention together that the Cubs were already, before the first snow of the year back in January, were already talking about a delay in the opening bleachers. And it didn't really start snowing until the Super Bowl, that January 31st or February 1st time. So even before the weather got bad, the Cubs are having problems with the renovations. And there was an attempt a couple weeks ago where the Cubs floated a trial balloon of asking the city if they can perform construction 24/7 around the clock. And Mayor Emanuel, who is in a runoff for his mayoral seat, sort of rejected that out of hand at the time. And that was another thing that the neighbors really didn't want, was having, you know, construction cranes going at 3 a.m. while they're trying to sleep, which I think is understandable. And for a lot of reasons would not have been a good idea. Maybe a good idea for the Cubs to get their project done on time, but not a good idea as a precedent for other projects in the city. Cause if the Cubs could do it, then anybody's going to ask for, you know, these expedited, 24 hour, construction permits. And the city, you know, regulates that pretty carefully, but the neighbors certainly don't want to be blamed for that, because I don't think they're unreasonable in not wanting the Cubs to, you know, perform construction after 8 p.m. or whatever the deadline is. But right now, you know, there's no real end in sight. It's a couple years away, so I think people are still in kind of the grumpy wait-and-see mode. There is a lot of concern that when the first game occurs next week, that Sheffield and Waveland are both completely shut off, apart from a very narrow strip of sidewalk. So there's a lot of curiosity as to how the Cubs are going to manage crowds and foot traffic, both coming off the L and coming out of bars and just walking around. Because, you know, if you're going up Sheffield Avenue, there's about a 6-foot wide path that you can now take, whereas before, it's sidewalks on both sides in the street. Same thing with Waveland. They would block off those things. And that's going to be tricky. If you come in on a bus trip this year, it looks like they're going to drop you off on Irving Park, which is 3 blocks north of Waveland, about half a mile north of Addison. So there's going to be a lot of foot traffic coming from that direction, more than there used to be, and buses up there. So people,
Pat,
are sort of
Pat, we're trying to see. We're trying to sell our bus trip by telling people that it drops them right off at the front door. So,
it'll be a very aggressive rickshaw business, I think. You're going to have that to look forward to. So I think it's kind of a wait and see approach from a lot of people. There's just a lot of anxiety over the fact that there have been a couple community meetings. There was one just Friday, this last Friday, and people kind of want to get some answers from the Cubs on how they plan on managing a lot of these things. And it seems like the plan is sort of slow and late in developing. Like, there hasn't been a lot of thought given towards how traffic and how crowds are going to be managed. So, you know, again, it's going to be kind of a roll with the punches kind of approach.
Right. Well, we probably should talk a little baseball with you. Despite all the distractions there in Wrigley, in the neighborhood with Wrigley Field and really, you know, for the first time in what, 5 or 6 years, we have a team worth being excited about. What's your general thoughts on the 2015 season, and would you like to make a prediction on how many wins this team ends up with?
Well, I'm really excited about the season for a lot of the reasons I'm sure you are, which is it looks like the Cubs are going to be more competitive. They've got some veteran, quality players in combination with some of the young guys coming up now. It's so funny to go through an entire spring training without being micro-focused on every single thing that Rizzo and Castro do, because for the last 3 years, that's all we had to look forward to. It's nice having, a dozen players that are all of interest so that, people can go a whole 2 or 3 games without a home run, without people getting worried about them. So I'm excited about it. I think that this is going to be, much like it is for the ballpark, I think it's going to be a transition year for the Cubs, too. And I caution people who are super excited about all the great things that Jorge Soler is going to do, and Chris Bryant, and to an extent, maybe even Javier Baez or Alcantara. We see sort of how guys come up and struggle. We saw it with Rizzo. We saw it with Baez, even with Castro a couple of years in, nothing ever works sort of perfectly. Maybe it will. Maybe they'll all have great seasons, but I think they'll go through their ups and downs. They're all young players. And I think we just have to be a little patient about that, because while I think the Cubs are going to be a lot better, I don't necessarily think that they're, a playoff contender at this point in time. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I have them pegged in at about 82 wins right now, which I think would be an improvement from, certainly be a huge improvement from last year. And maybe they'll, outperform that, and maybe they'll win 83, 84 games or even better. But I think we should be realistic in our expectations, too, while we're also looking forward to the team doing well. And unlike maybe the last year when we thought they might be decent, which was the year after the 2008 playoff team, the 2009 season.
Right.
It is nice to know that even if we don't win as many games as we want, even if we don't make the playoffs, it's not because we're relying on the Carlos Peñas and Aramis Ramirez's of the world as they're aging and getting worse from year to year. We're actually in a position where our young players are probably going to get better, so we can actually, whatever achievements we make this year, we can build on for next year.
Right. It doesn't feel like we're, this is the door is closing, but it feels like, we're just knocking on the door. So it's a much different feel than, you're right, than that 29 or 2009 season.
It's easier to be patient when you have even higher expectations for the future than you do for this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, Pat, thanks for coming back on this podcast. I enjoy Wrigleyville Nation quite a bit. And where can people find your podcast?
Well, you can go to the WrigleyvilleNation.com website, or you can go to any podcatcher of choice, Downcast or iTunes or any of those other places, and do a search for it. If you've got a podcatcher, you will be able to find us somewhere.
All right, Pat. Well, thanks a lot for coming on and talking renovations and the 2015 Cubs with us.
Well, thanks very much, Corey. I really appreciate it, and have a great rest of the show. We love listening to your perspective too. So I have you on my podcast. Catch you here every Monday morning on my way to the work on the L. I have you guys on. So.
Well, hopefully we make your your walk a little better as you're walking past the war zone that is Wrigley Field.
As long as I don't get bit by a rat, I'm not mad.
Right. If you've missed our last few episodes, we made some announcements on episode number 300. Starting in 2 weeks when the season starts, we will be adding, starting in a week and a half, I guess, we'll be adding a second episode each week. It will come out late Wednesday nights, so it'll be there for your Thursday commute to work. It'll probably be a shorter episode, and it will primarily be hosted by Andy and me. We think that, we think there's going to be a lot to talk about this year, and we don't want our regular Sunday evening episodes to become too bloated. So we're going to kind of spread things out a little bit. And also, there's a new podcast under the IVMV umbrella. It's called the Daily Northside Recap. And this is a daily Monday through Friday podcast I'll be doing, and it will be kind of a quick run through the previous day's games in the Cubs organization. It'll come out early weekday mornings for your commute. And I'll talk about the results and the key performances from the Cubs, Iowa Cubs, Tennessee Smokies, Myrtle Beach, Pelicans, and South Bend Cubs games. And that will not be in the feed for this podcast. It's a completely different podcast, and you'll need to subscribe to that podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find it by searching for the Daily Northside Recap. And we also shared that we will have an app for our podcast. I was hoping it would be ready for opening night. That's just a week away, and I'm a little less optimistic. Perhaps we were kind of like the Cubs. We were just being a little too optimistic with our timeline. I thought it would be ready.
Blame the weather.
Yeah. It's kind of out of our control at this point, so let's hope it's ready. And at this point, it's just an iOS app, but once we get that settled and everything, we'll start working on an Android app. So usually as spring training is wrapping up, there's a lot of discussion about the Cubs roster decisions. And this year, everything seems to be a little more obvious, yet a lot more discussed around baseball circles and all of baseball. They're talking about what's going on with the Cubs and the decisions that the Cubs need to make here heading into 2015. So let's first look at Javier Baez, Kurt. Where is he starting the season? And I've been fairly confident all spring he's starting in Iowa, and now I'm not confident in that prediction at all.
Yeah, it's been kind of a seesaw. I mean, and if you look just at his performance, you might, you know, be able to say it would be good for him to start in Iowa, get some time there and you know, polish up a little bit more. But then recently it's kind of coming out that looking more like he's going to start with the Cubs. And it's hard to say why, and I don't know, you know, where those rumors are coming from. You know, Madden's defended him a lot. He's not played particularly well, even compared to last spring training. He played really well, and this year he's not. His strikeouts are down slightly compared to how he performed regular season last year. But, you know, performance-wise, you know, he's not blowing anybody away. He's a little bit rusty in the field still, you know. So, like I said, all things kind of would indicate some time in Iowa would do him some good, but it looks like to me that he will be with the Cubs. At least that's kind of the latest rumors, and it's hard to say why, you know, because, and I think this issue is getting more attention than it normally would given the Bryant situation, because everyone's focusing so much on that. Well, then that sort of, you know, hands off into the Baez situation, where if there were no, you know, conversations around the Bryant call up, this wouldn't be a huge deal. It wouldn't really matter either way to us, the Baez situation. So I think it's just, you know, a collective overanalyzation of where a guy's going to start. Looking like Baez will be your second baseman.
I think that what we've seen in spring training from Baez isn't necessarily what we want to see in the regular season from Baez. But I really do think there are advantages to him starting in Iowa, and there are also advantages to him starting in the big leagues. He's shown the ability to destroy all levels of minor league pitching. He really has nothing to prove at AAA. What he would have to gain there is confidence, I think. I think he could work on whatever it is that's causing him to swing at bad pitches, whether it's poor pitch recognition, poor plate discipline, whatever it is. I think that time in Iowa give him time to work on that. And then I think that the advantage to him starting at the big league club is that he does so many other things really well. And those are the things that Madden is kind of keyed in on. You know, he plays really good defense. He's fast on the base paths. He's shown that he's a pretty smart baseball player. And if you look at coaching organization-wide, the best coaching in the organization is at the big league level. And so that's probably where he would need to be to get the best coaching. I guess my personal opinion, I've thought that he was going to start in AAA just because I thought, well, Olt's playing okay at third. They signed LaStella. There's really no
Contra can play second.
Right. Right.
He's got options.
Right. So, I mean, like if it was a matter of him needing to kind of build up some confidence, there's really no reason to have him up there. But I do trust the Cubs in this. I don't know Javi. You know, the front office and Joe Madden, they know Javi's situation better than anyone else. They know what he needs. They know where he needs to be to give himself the best chance at success. I thought it was going to be in Iowa, but maybe not. I really like Baez, and I want to see him do well. And I feel like I say that a lot, but I really do like him.
Yeah, I think we're also sort of waiting for him to turn the corner. And like I said before, if it does, you have to admit that it does look a bit like a double standard. If he starts in Chicago, it does look, at least if you're talking about baseball performance, it would look kind of odd to say, well, Bryant's not ready, but Baez is. From an offensive standpoint, those two arguments are seem a little off because Baez's numbers are down and Bryant's are through the roof. But I think that kind of illustrates that these things aren't always about, on-field performance. Even though it is still a baseball issue, it's about player development. And there's way more to that than, how many home runs you hit in spring training and that kind of thing.
Right, yeah. At the beginning of spring training, the Cubs' number 5 spot in the rotation seemed pretty muddy, as expected. And as we said early on, and everybody was saying, these things work themselves out. And through injury and performances, those are the things that clarify these types of situations. And that's exactly why depth at that spot is a good thing. I would say it's pretty safe to say that Edwin Jackson won't be the 5th starter. After getting lost and showing up late to one of his starts, Edwin was, I would guess, probably a little flustered, and he did not pitch well. So I'm sure you've heard this, but he reportedly went to the A's old spring training facility after typing it into Google Maps. The irony, of course, is that the A's new spring training facility is Ho-O-Kan Park, which he should be quite familiar with. And I'm glad his chance at a roster spot probably went down the drain with something as entertaining as him showing up to the wrong ballpark. I think that was
too hard to believe.
I think that was just a spectacular way to end it. I was trying to imagine the mood and panic in his car as he pulls up to an empty stadium and then gets caught in traffic trying to get to the right ballpark. Joe Maddon said, "That was not good. You have a lot of time to prepare and understand where you're going as a major league person." I just thought it was funny that you hear something like that and you think, like, very rarely is it so literal, to know where you're going.
I know. Yeah, well, he apparently doesn't have the ability to get around like Will Ferrell,
Right. Well, he doesn't have a private helicopter.
In just minutes. Yeah, he should just called up Will's people. Send the chopper.
So he was probably a little flustered after all of that. He didn't make the start, but got into the game. He lasted 1 2/3 innings, giving up 8 runs on 9 hits. So he's made 4 appearances. His ERA is over 7.5. With Travis Wood pitching well and hitting well. He had a pinch hit home run on Thursday, I think it was. I would say that Travis Wood probably has that spot locked up. It'll be interesting to see what the Cubs do with Edwin here in the next week. Other than the amount of money he's owed, he really has no reason to be on the roster, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either, just because we've talked about why Edwin has had so much troubles, and it's like, his velocity is still there, and he just gets hit like crazy. I mean, he's not fooling anybody. Guys, it's like they know what's coming
right
before he throws it, and it's just he's getting hit, and that's, it tends to indicate he's just doesn't have it anymore.
Right. Well, I think we would lose all credibility as a Cubs podcast if we ignored the Cubs topic that all of baseball is discussing, and that would be the timing of the Chris Bryant call-up. Of course, we've been discussing that for 6 months now, but in case someone is just finding us for the first time, we're not ignoring the biggest topic in Chicago Cubs discussion. So have at it, Kurt.
Yeah, it's pretty impossible to ignore given all the attention it gets. I mean, I think that if you watch other team games, you're probably hearing about it. Like, the
right.
Cubs aren't even in it. They're talking about it. The good news is I think the Cubs and Epstein have kind of took a hardline stance, and Epstein made a statement that basically told Boris to shut up. And after that, Epstein had done an interview with, I think it was David Kaplan, where he said, I've never in all my years had a prospect make his debut on opening day. If that's not an indication that, you know, Bryant's not starting with the Cubs, and I don't know what is. He keeps, you know, the Cubs keep saying, we have not made a decision. You know, we'll make that decision when we have to. But it's looking, obviously, like he's going to be in Iowa, as we suspected. But, of course, that doesn't make Boris very happy, and he's going to keep complaining about that. But the other good news is that the new commissioner, Manfred, has kind of come out and said the same thing as Epstein, where he supported the Cubs and said, look, the Cubs are the ones that have to make this decision, and that everybody else should just kind of back off. This is about, you know, Bryant's development. And so, you know, the support's on the side of the Cubs, at least in that area. So I don't know. If I had to say absolutely what's your prediction today, you know, he's going to be starting in Iowa, as he should, in my opinion.
I mean, there's no way. There's no way he starts with the Cubs. No way.
It's hard to say no way just because you just...
There's no way. There's no way. There is no way.
There's, you know, almost no way. But
we're going to be playing that in a week. Me saying, no way. There is no way. And he's going to be on the opening day roster.
We're going to auto-tune it to make a song out of it. No way. No way. But yeah, I mean, and then he just keeps crushing the ball. So it does look, you know, he's doing his job and giving people fuel to say, well, what more do you need to see?
Right. But at the same time, the Cubs knew what they were doing. There's a reason that he hasn't been playing left field until this week. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to start that at the beginning of spring training, because you can introduce it in the last week or so of spring training and then say, oh, we're going to send him to Iowa to work on his defense a little bit. And I mean, I don't think it's going to be like an April 20th or whatever they're saying, you know, is the cutoff. I don't think they're going to be that transparent about it.
No,
I think it'll be maybe more like middle of May. But I really don't know.
I would say middle, late May, even could be early June. And I think some of that will hinge on how the Cubs are playing.
Yeah. I think if the Cubs are playing pretty well, I don't think they're going to leave him down there longer than they need to. But the other side of it is,
like, if they're not playing well, they're not going to call him up in the midst of a slump and try to pretend like, well, we'll call him up now and he's going to be our savior, because that's what people will think.
Right. You don't want that pressure on him.
Yeah. And I think the Cubs will tell you that their team performance probably won't. I publicly, they're going to say it has nothing to do with Bryant's call-up, but you know it does. I mean, they're going to call him up on the road in a hitter's ballpark.
Cincinnati. Look to see when there's a series in Cincinnati, and I would guess that's probably it. So I'm sure this will come up next week in our season predictions episode. I'm sure that will be one of the things that we try to predict. The Chris
funny thing
Bryant
is, you said it won't be right after that cutoff, but the first road series in Cincinnati starts on April 24th.
Oh, well,
I'm guessing it won't be that one.
I don't know. Yeah,
who knows?
All right. Well, if you shop on Amazon, you can help support our podcast by going to ivmv.com and clicking on the Amazon link. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and Amazon gives us a percentage of your purchase for referring you. And if you enjoy our podcast, you can leave us reviews in iTunes and Stitcher, and that helps other Cubs fans find our podcast. And another way that Cubs fans can find our podcast is that you tell them about us. Lots of Cubs fans that have probably faded away over the last 5 years or so are probably being drawn in by the hype around the Cubs. And if you have friends that are Cubs fans, or you work with Cubs fans, you know, how about telling them about our podcast? I think that'd be a nice thing to do. So let's read through a few iTunes reviews. They make us feel so good, so we play a little Chuck Mangione over them. The first one is from Baser574, and the title is simply the best. There is just no better Chicago Cubs podcast out there, period. I've been listening for a few months. These guys managed to be engaging even during the off season. Spring coverage has been great, and I'm really looking forward to the regular season coverage. Goshen, Indiana says go Cubs. So that was very nice. Next one is from Cubby Stuck in NYC, and the title is keep up the good work. And the review reads, you guys are great. You're polite to each other. You know your Cubs, and listeners can tell you're having a great time. Thanks for your addition to Cubs Nation. If you're ever in New York, let's get a beer.
Huh. Nice. I think that may be the first one that complimented our manners.
Yes.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I guess we are fairly polite.
My mom would appreciate that review.
Yeah, mine too. I know we're brutal to each other off air.
Oh man, you should see our texts to each other.
Oh gosh.
Oh man.
This guy, let
that
me tell
my
you.
Mom would not be proud of.
And the last one here is from Jet V66 from the UK. A listener from the other side of the pond. It says, great pod by Cubs fans trying not to get too excited about the team and failing with top beer tips too. What's not to like? So, two of these reviews mentioned beer. We may have a problem, I guess. I don't know. So, thank you to Baser 574, Cubby Stuck in NYC, and Jet V 66 from the UK. We really appreciate it. And as I said, you can leave us a review, and it helps other people find our show. And really, it is. I get an email once a week, and I'm always like surprised, like, "Whoa, we have an iTunes review! That's awesome!" And then I read it, and it does brighten up my day. So now is time for the internet muscle flex portion of the show. What we do is we go through cubs.com and the various Cubs social media platforms and find instances of commenters flexing their internet muscles. Kurt, you have one, correct?
I do. Yeah.
I have a few. I'm going to read two that are kind of on the same topic. I'll let you read yours and then I'll finish up with one. So this is about Chris Bryant. You know, of course, what the Cubs should be doing with him. So the commenter says, I'm tired of this issue. Who's this dude in the box that keeps pressing this issue with Theo? Some people don't know what makes a good Q&A. Theo should just punish everyone and keep Chris Bryant down until after the All-Star break. So the few funny things in that are the person that was grilling Theo was Curt Schilling. So that's who the dude in the box was. And then I just really got a kick out of the idea that like Theo should punish everyone by keeping Bryant down till the All-Star break. Like that would literally be punishing everyone. It's punishing Bryant. It's punishing Cubs fans. It's punishing his teammates. I don't know. I just thought that was really funny. Like just like, I just kind of pictured Theo being like the mean dad. That's like, I'm punishing everyone. We're not doing it. The next one is, also on the same topic, says, I would send him down just for the fact he's whining about this. He's never played a major league game and he thinks he's ready. The show is a lot faster than spring training.
I saw that one too, and I almost picked it, but that was just fantastic. Like,
right. Because Chris Bryant
show.
Chris Bryant is not whining about this. You know, Chris Bryant is like has obviously received some training in like PR and knowing how to handle situations, and he is not whining about this. So I don't know. I thought that one was pretty funny.
Yeah, that one was hilarious. Oh man.
Okay. So go ahead with yours.
All right, here's mine. And this was in the same article actually about Bryant, and the person says, so now they're sending him down for baseball reasons, and that's in quotes. We were never at war with Eurasia. We were always at war with East Asia. The rationale changes, but the results remain the same. So I think that's an Orwell.
Yeah, it's a 1984.
Yeah. So it's just hilarious. Like, so this
person Theo is Big Brother.
Flex. They're trying to flex their intellectual muscles too.
Oh man,
they're literary. Too bad we don't have Andy on.
Right. I'm like one of the least literary people I know, yeah. And I still get that reference. Yes.
That's like, yeah, we get 1984 references, but all others must be noted to us.
Oh, man. All right, so here's the last one. This was from the Cubs Instagram, and the person leaves a comment, and I don't know. I just found it funny. It's not really a flex. I just found it humorous. So the commenter says, why is Will Ferrell playing for all these teams? Is it like a popularity stunt, or is he actually a quality player and wants to play?
A popularity stunt.
Or he's trying to break into the big leagues. And then like the comments from there go to amazing places. But I will wait until we're off the air to read those to you, Kurt. I'm not reading them.
A popularity stunt.
Well, that does it for this week's episode. This week, this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A special thank you to the Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dallas, Charles, Stephen, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Brian, Richard, Craig, Rick, and Jason. We have two new additions to that list. Stephen from Des Moines and Rick from Lynchburg, Virginia, jumped on the Patreon campaign this week. So thank you very much, guys. Right now, this podcast is 100% funded and supported by our listeners. If you enjoy our podcast and you would like to help us pay the bills and be able to do things like introduce a second episode a week and an entirely new podcast, you can do that through Patreon, which is kind of like an ongoing Kickstarter campaign. Our pledging levels start at $1 a month, and there are perks at every level, and they obviously get better as they go up. If you pledge at the Ernie Banks level or higher, you probably got my message a week or two ago. Things are kind of being held up with IVMV pint glasses because we're changing which company we go through to get these. And I'm actually behind on sending out all perks because I've had to replenish our stock of things like the IVMV posters. And so I'm about a month behind. And here in the next few weeks, I'll get caught up and everything will be current. Next week's episode will be our annual season prediction episode. As I mentioned, there will not be a live broadcast because we'll be watching the Cubs-Cardinals opening night game. And again, if you're in West Central Illinois or you're wanting a little road trip to experience Duffy's, Andy and I will be there hosting a game watch. Right now, I think there's about 10 people that have RSVP'd on the Facebook event or that I've talked to that I know will be there. You can find that link at for the Facebook event in the notes for this episode on IVMV.com. I'm so excited for this season. I think it's that night is going to be a blast. I cannot wait. Like this is the most excited I've been in our now 7 seasons of podcasting on the Cubs.
Oh,
So pumped. I've been to 2 opening days at Duffy's and I've had a ton of fun there. So if you're just kind of thinking about it, get a hold of me. You will have a great time. I promise you that.
Bring a DD and then you'll have even more fun.
Right. That would be a good idea. And you don't have to bring very much money. I think if you come with a 10 spot, you're good.
Even then you might not need any money if you get paid into the meetup and people start ordering $3 pitchers.
Right. Yeah. Those pitchers go pretty fast. So, so thank you for listening. Don't forget to tell your Cubs fan friends about our podcast. And until next weekend and our season prediction episode, go Cubs.